Good morning. How are you guys doing? That's awesome. I'm excited to be here. I'm Darren. For those who don't know, I'm the youth pastor here. And this morning, I get a turn to teach and introduce our summer series. We're going to go through 2 Timothy as a church. And I hope you take time to read it during the week, maybe even do some of your own study. And just even on that note of your own study, I hope you have a good Bible. I'm very fortunate that I get to be a pastor because, it is such a blessing. I get, my job is to spend time with God. I mean, essentially, that's the first mandate sort of on my job description, right? And I'm constantly reminded at how intentional we need to be in our relationship with God in our everyday life. Because if I just left my spiritual growth to when I was in the office, I mean, that's easy for me because it's part of my job. But that's not the reality for most of us. And so I'm constantly challenging myself to try and spend time with God at home, in front of my kids, as I'm driving, as I go for walks, those kind of things. So I just want to encourage you, and please also, if you don't have a good study Bible and you need a study Bible, come talk to me. I have really great study Bibles that are extras, that are there for people who need it. So if that's you, or maybe you just need a fresh new Bible, it's been a long time, come talk to me afterwards. I just want to take a quick moment to give a couple little updates on my life. And as I do that, I'm just going to give a treat to those in the front row here, the front couple rows. Thank you for sitting up front. Appreciate that. I am preaching next Sunday as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So it's been a really busy month for me since youth group has ended, which isn't always the case. Sometimes we think when summer comes, things slow down, and it actually got quite busy. I had an opportunity to go to Abbotsford and attend pastor and credentialing and orientation for MB pastors, and that was really encouraging. I've spent time looking at our confession of faith. We went through it as a church together under Pastor Gary, and to hear it also coupled with the history a little more of the MBs and the connection of the journey and our theology, sometimes there's this coupling that happens. And it's really cool to see that. They took us to, did you know there is a Mennonite museum in Abbotsford? No? There is. I've been there. And to walk through that, I also got to go to the MCC head office in that area and just different things like that. It was a really cool experience. The other thing that was just incredible and really humbling is we got to hear from some church planters, and we actually got to go right downtown Vancouver and walk Davies Street. And there's a church planter, and he and his family are living down there intentionally, ministering to the people in that neighborhood. And I just can't imagine the challenge that is before them. And it was really cool. The other things that I've been up to, I got to speak at SABC 2 weeks ago now, and it's always encouraging to be part of that ministry, a camp ministry. It's so cool. And also last week, soccer camp was running here. And a big shout out to Adam and Vince and Irv and their families. That is just incredible. And the things that gets me fired up is when my life intersects with someone who's far from God. And you have just sort of, just sometimes it's just a conversation, sometimes it's just a connection, and you get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Those moments always just fire me up. And truthfully, at SABC, that happened quite a bit through hearing the stories of what God was doing in the life of the campers. And there's actually even an Athletes in Action volleyball camp running out there as well at the same time. And if you ever run into Kaylee Duick, ask her what her week was like. She had a good week. And then this past week with the Athletes in Action soccer camp, I mean, it's incredible. In my small group, there was a kid there who was saying, I don't know about God. Like, what are you talking about? God made. Who's God? God didn't make anything. Science says it just happened. And that was our starting point for our conversation. That's incredible. And I get to hear his story and what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff, but there's some good stuff of how God is revealing himself to him. And I'm praying for him. Also, we have the Burke family there in Shamattawa. I hope that I said that right. It's a tricky word. But on their family missions trip. And man, I hope you're remembering to pray for them. And if you're ever considering doing something like that, start with a soccer camp. Come help out next week. Talk to one of those three guys and say, hey, I'm interested in helping out. That just gets your faith going. When you're seeing it and you have people asking real questions where they're just like, I don't know, man. It makes you find answers. It makes you search. And Aaron's back from his trip to Hungary. Talk to him. Hear some of his stories. I'm excited to hear what God did out there. I just want to pray before I dive into our word and to today's message. God, thank you for you. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for how when we decide to follow you, when we turn from our sins and we put our trust in you, your spirit comes and fills us and we belong to you. And we're part of your family and we have a new mandate in life. And I pray, Father, that you just continue to bring clarity for that for each of us. Pray for the Burks. I pray for Gary and Beverly and Josh and Zach. Encourage their family. They've asked for that grace and truth would be spoken and received at their special tent meetings. I pray that you'd bless their connection with those that they just randomly bump into. And God, we praise you for your work and for calling them to the Shamattawa area. And God, right now, as we look at 2 Timothy, I just ask for your blessing and your encouragement. In your name, Jesus, amen. If you have your Bibles, open it to 2 Timothy. And we're going to start in chapter 1. And as I was spending time getting ready for it this week, I was encouraged just in the preparation of it. And I hope to pass that on to you this morning. So if you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus our Lord. So when I start reading that, the first thing that's on the page is Paul. And of course, the question that comes to my mind is, well, who's Paul? And I believe most of us know who is Paul. And sometimes with the Bible, we know things so well or so often that we kind of become calloused, I believe, sometimes. And we forget about, like, Paul's a real person. And the journey that Paul has gone through to get to this point where he's writing this story. Acts chapter 7, if we look back there, that's sort of the first introduction of Paul. And his name's actually Saul at that point. And he's there as a witness to the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr. And scripture tells us in the book of Acts that Saul sort of goes on this rampage of trying to destroy the church, of persecuting the early followers of Christ. And trying to stop them in teaching in the name of Jesus, in teaching about Jesus, and in sharing the story of this God-man who died and is now alive. And something amazing happens in Paul's story is that he runs into Jesus. I believe it's in Acts chapter 9. Saul, at that time, meets the risen Jesus. And it changes his life forever. The direction that he is headed was this way. Actually, he thought he was pursuing God in all of his actions, in his right things, in obeying the things that he thought were right. And he was actually going away from God. And Jesus steps in front and says, Saul, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And he's like, whoa, what's going on? And who is this? And he's like, it's Jesus. You're persecuting me, man. What are you doing? And that's the beginning of Saul turning around and following Jesus. I don't know about you, but Saul sometimes is like this superhero figure in Scripture, right? Like we will know that, like, so after this point, we kind of know that story, right? The road to Damascus story. Then we know that he went on, like, some missionary trips, right? We're like, yeah, he went on like a few of those, and he went and preached the gospel, and he planted churches. And we think that's pretty cool and everything. Yeah, he even had a chance to go before the Roman Empire, the leaders of it, to proclaim the gospel. One of the things that surprised me was Saul's timeline of his life. So, the easy way to think of how old is Saul, it's pretty close to Jesus' birth. Like, we say Jesus is born around the 3 BC, 6 BC, something like that. Or is it after? I don't remember. I have to double check. But Saul's birth, they say, is like maybe 5 AD. They put him in about that window. And so when he meets Jesus, he's actually 30 years old. Runs into Jesus at that stage of his life. And he goes and he spends this time of preparation, of studying Scripture, of getting mentored by Barnabas. And then he goes on his first missionary journey. And at that point, like from what meeting Jesus to his first missionary journey is like probably about 10 years, 11 years, something like that. So Saul is in his 40s, maybe conservatively late 30s, but he's in his 40s, early 40s. First missionary journey. Now, I'm asking you to be bold for a second. This might push a couple buttons. Who in the room is over 35? If you're over 35, can you just put up your hand? Okay? Thank you. Thank you for being bold. Okay? I'm with you in that one. I'm in that camp. When I read that this morning, I don't think I ever really thought of how old Paul was when he was doing these things. That was his first missionary journey. And we think of the impact that Paul has had, not just on the church, but on history, like in planting the church and going where the gospel wasn't preached and taking it to the Gentiles. That was a big thing. That was huge. And Paul fought that. Like he even wrestled with that with the other apostles, because some of them sort of were like, well, do you become a Jew first and then you become a Christian? Or can you just go right to being a Christian? Like, that's one of the early problems that the church had to wrestle through. And Paul was there arguing, saying, yo, I want you to know, like, I'm among the Gentiles, and the Spirit of God is filling them. They're not getting circumcised. They're not becoming Jews first. God is filling them. And Peter's story, even, he has his own account with God, where God sort of said, yo, Peter, don't make everyone Jewish. I got to work here. And that is so freeing, because I'm not Jewish. And remember, Paul's a man. He's not like some angelic being. He's not some superpower. He's not like Superman himself. He's wrestling through these things. He's walking and listening to Jesus. So he goes on these missionary journeys. So his first one, he's in his early 40s probably. And then he does a circuit and he gets back to like Jerusalem, and I think that's when they debated that. And then he goes on a second missionary journey. And these ones, he is in his late 40s, so he's not quite 50 yet. But he's like, I'm going to do another circuit here. And then in his early 50s, he's doing his third missionary journey. And that's when he gets arrested. And I mean, like, the Spirit was warning him when he was coming back to Jerusalem. He's bringing back this offering to Jerusalem. And he's being a delivery, and he's getting all these messages from people. And you can read about it in the book of Acts, where they're like, if you go there, Paul, you're going to get arrested. And he's like, I have to go. This is what I'm supposed to do. I want to take the gospel to Rome. And he saw this as a way to do that, but he also, I think, more importantly, knew that God was calling him to this, and he was going to give him the words and the strength to go through that. When Paul got shipwrecked, he's like 55. Is that what you want to do when you turn 55? Go through a shipwreck experience? Sometimes I dream about like being on a boat in a storm and reading the story of Acts and thinking, oh, this would be so cool. But inside of me, I'm like a scared little boy. Like, do I really want to do that? I don't think so. But Paul gets released, we believe, and we believe that he went on a fourth missionary journey. And it's not as written about, but there's some indications in Scripture where we're kind of like, okay, he must be doing another trip here where he's writing some letters. So like when he's writing 1 Timothy, when he's writing Titus, and we believe he went into Spain, kind of came back, and then he gets arrested and he has a second imprisonment in Rome. And then he's in his late 60s at this point, probably. And this time when he's arrested and he's in jail, it's not like the first time. The first time, he was able to rent his own house, and people were able to come and visit him. He was still under house arrest, like he had a guard there, but he's preaching, and people were coming, and he was teaching and sharing the gospel. The second time, when he's in his late 60s, it doesn't seem like it's a good thing. It's under Nero, and Nero is persecuting the church. And there's even an indication that Paul, while he's in prison, it's like a dark prison, and people couldn't come visit him, and he's hard to find. And Paul knows the end is in sight. He knows this is it. I'm not getting out this time. And this is the context in which he sits down to write to Timothy. A lot of these adventures that he went on, these missionary journeys, Timothy was there for them. And we see in verse 2 even, there's a term of infection, or a term of endearment, like my dear son. Paul's poured his life into Timothy. And Timothy at this time, we believe, is in Ephesus, at the church there, and Paul's writing him to encourage him. And this is like this note to Timothy. He's sitting down. It's all like this pressures of the world are on him. I can't imagine, honestly, what he must have been experiencing or feeling. He's alone, and he thinks of Timothy. I gotta write that boy a note. Got to encourage him. Have you ever been there in that time? It's weird how sometimes when it's tough, you feel like you can encourage someone. It's kind of like when you go through tough things, there's a kindred spirit there. I like how in the text in verse 1, so it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promises of life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew his identity. It wasn't in himself, but rather it was in Christ. Do you know your identity? Do you know the good news? This is why I have this up here. I know, I'm sorry you can't read it at the back, but if you want to come look at it later. But for those that were part of Awake, this was one of the sessions that Brad Huber did, just on the clarity of understanding the gospel. And I think it's so important. And one of his challenges was that when you understand the gospel clearly, it's easy to share it. And he just broke it down like this. And often I think we know like the story part of Jesus' life, that part of the gospel, but how does that translate into our identity of who we are? So I just want to take a moment to go through that, because I feel like Paul in this situation, he's sort of underlining his identity. So because Jesus lived a perfect life that I could never live, that's the first part of the story, right? Jesus came, the Christmas story, Emmanuel. He came and he lived a perfect life that I couldn't live. And he loved me so much. And he died to pay for my sins. And not just me, but for our sins. And Jesus didn't stay dead, but he rose from the grave and he conquered, he defeated. What did he defeat? He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the devil. The only power Satan had was death, and Jesus beat it. And he ascended to heaven. And the reason he ascended to heaven was so that the Holy Spirit could come. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in me, to comfort me, to live in you, to comfort you. And Jesus just isn't going to hang out in heaven forever and that's the end of the story, but rather he went to prepare a place, sitting at the right hand of God. And one day he's coming back to renew all things. So that's the story, but how does that translate? So the first part is, Jesus lived a perfect life that I couldn't live. And if I turn from my sins and put my trust in Jesus, I can have his righteousness. I can have validation from God himself, who created everything, because Jesus lived a life that I couldn't live. And if I truly believe that, I don't have to live to prove myself or to gain approval or to try and gain validation from those around me. Because I already have that from God the Father. Wouldn't that change life just right there? Just because of the life Jesus lived, we can have validation with the Father that we don't need to try and chase down in this world. Think of the freedom in your decision making. Because Jesus loved me and died to pay for my sins on the cross, when I turn from my sins and put my trust in Jesus, I receive love. I receive acceptance. I receive forgiveness. I receive peace with God. And when I truly believe this, I don't have to pay for my sins. I don't have to live to please others. I don't have to be insecure. And I don't have to hold on to grudges, because I've been forgiven so much. Why hold on to it? because Jesus rose from the grave, defeating death, sin, and the devil, and ascended to heaven. When I turn from my sins and I put my trust in Jesus, I receive freedom. I receive new eternal life. I receive authority over evil. Scripture talks about that. And I receive every spiritual blessing. And when I truly believe this, I don't have to feel pressure to produce. I don't have to feel pressure to win. I don't have to feel pressure to come out on top or to be in control, because I already know the one who is. And I'm loved and accepted by him. Because Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to live in me and to be with me. And when I turn from my sins and put my trust in him, I receive a new identity. I receive a new mission. I receive new power. And I'm part of a new family. And when I truly believe this, I don't have to pursue lesser things to fill me, or to complete me, or to inspire me. I don't need to try and find a place to belong, because I belong in God's family. Because Jesus went to prepare heaven and will return to restore all things, when I turn from my sins and put my trust in him, I receive one day a life in heaven. I receive hope that this life isn't all there is. And if I truly believe this, I don't have to possess everything I want right now. I don't have to live as if this is all there is. Because I have a new mission, a new purpose from the God who created everything, and a new acceptance. I can pursue the things that he wants me to pursue, because I have eternity ahead, which is going to totally fulfill everything that all our desires. We can't even imagine it. That's what we have in Jesus. That's what you have in Jesus. And Paul, sitting in this dark dungeon, writing to his spiritual son to encourage him and saying, yeah, like, I know it's the end. I know it's hard. But I got to encourage Timothy right now. There's some things I need to remind him. So I asked those over 35 to raise their hands. I'm going to ask right now, those under 35, can you please raise your hand? Okay. No one's keeping track if you didn't raise your hand. It's okay. Those under 35, what are you getting ready for? Are you investing all your time into preparing for your career and for getting your life set up the right way? I'm not saying that you shouldn't. That's not what I mean. But what I'm asking is, what's first on your agenda? Is it your desires or your plan or your dreams? Those are good things. And that might be what God's asking for you or has for you. But have you ever thought to come to him and say, God, what's this for? Why do I want to do this? I just find it incredibly encouraging that Paul, at the age of his life, was able to have the impact that he has. Because sometimes I get so fired up because, when you're young, there's this, this zeal that we have in youth. And it's incredible, and it's exciting, and it's full of adrenaline. And God can use it. But there's this wisdom that comes in maturing that I think God uses as well. Your life experience, you've been through some hard times. You've had chance to weigh those out, and God wants to use those too. One other thing, maybe when I was going through this, you're thinking, man, Darren, I've never done that before. I want to ask, why haven't you turned from your sins and put your trust in Jesus? You can do that this morning. It's really simple. It's not that confusing. It's just talking to God. It's simply saying, sorry, thank you, and please. Sorry, God, I messed up. I can't do it on my own. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and living a life that I couldn't live and for paying a price that I couldn't pay. I believe in your good news, Jesus. I believe in your story. And I want to receive that. Please fill me with your Spirit. Please come and take charge of my life. I'm yours. Next week, I'm going to get a lot more into Timothy as we continue on in chapter 1. But in verse 2, in his address to Timothy, he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus our Lord. Sometimes I like to use those words when in prayer because it makes you sound, I don't know, smarter. But what's grace? Grace is receiving something I don't deserve. What's mercy? Not receiving something that I do deserve. And what's peace? I feel like peace is something that we often long for, of this sort of wholeness or freedom from struggle. And Paul's addressing Timothy and he's saying, hey, don't forget these things that we have in God, the Father, and through Jesus our Lord. I'm going to pray as I close in a minute here. And I want to encourage you just to take a quiet moment to think of your life and your situation. Did you feel the Spirit tug at something in your own life? Maybe when I was going through the story here, the gospel story, of maybe there's a longing of a truth here that you haven't really accepted for yourself in your own life. This is our new identity that we have in Jesus. That we don't have to carry this mask or carry the weight of the world, but we can throw it down and say, okay, Jesus, I come to you. He's the one who made you. He's the one who knows what makes you happy. He knows your dreams. He knows the desires of your heart. He actually even knows your thoughts before you do. And he didn't just make you and give you those things because he wanted to be entertained. He did it because he loves you. He's the perfect Father. You can trust him. So what's holding you back? Can we pray together? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for scripture. Thank you for revealing yourself to man and for inspiring people to write down these words, for inspiring them to put down their thoughts, to share some of the stories of what you are doing in their life. And God, I pray that you would change our hearts, change my heart. Give me a desire, a stronger desire to hang out with you, to read your word, and to allow it to transform me. Thank you for this church, God, and thank you for the things that you're doing in it. And I just continue to pray that you would lead and build your church, Jesus. Not just this congregation, but the church in Coaldale, the church in southern Alberta, in Canada and around the world. May we not hold on to the things that you've given us. May we consider why you have given us these things and ask, what should we do with them? I love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.